Here. I ask your continued interest in your prayers as we study Psalm 30 tonight. Psalm 30. The title I've given it is "That My Glory May Sing God's Praise." Isn't that the way it ought to be? Now, not that we have much glory about us, is it? But if there's any, and I close out with this thought, but if there's any good thing in us, we're to thank God and use it to praise His name. All right? So this, just from the subtitle, this psalm was to be a lasting testimony from David of the Lord's repeated care, His day-to-day dealings, His deliverances, and David's readiness to praise and give glory to God. Isn't that a worthy goal for all of us? To thank the Lord for what He's given us, confessing that we're unworthy of it, and to try as best we can for whatever days we have. You know, you hear so much sickness, and during our prayer requests, sometimes, like tonight, we have some young people that are mentioned. We've got some two-year-olds on our prayer list. And it just grips your heart, doesn't it, to know that there's such young people they're struggling with serious illness and disease here in this life. So my point is, none of us know how many days we're going to have. But God's been so good to us, we ought to use every day we have to His praise and honor and glory. Verse 1, a psalm, this is a subtitle, a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. All right, remember David built his house, but that was separate from the temple. All right, perhaps this was later used also at the dedication of the temple in remembrance of all of God's merciful deliverances. He says, "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. Thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me." Aren't you glad God's watching over us? Aren't you glad that He does more for us than we think to ask Him for? What if He only gave you what we asked for? Sometimes folks get the gimmies. They ask the Lord for a lot. And it's okay to ask for the things we need, but there needs to be a focus on asking for others, praying for others. And then it's okay to ask. And like I've said a number of times, we don't have the right to ask God for anything else until we thank Him sufficiently for what He's already given us. Okay? "I will extol thee, O Lord," he says, "for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me." Many were the times for David and for us as well that God has lifted us up and delivered us from our foes. Now, some of you spent some time in the military. Maybe some of you were in battle. And if you were, then you know something about facing an enemy. Most of us haven't had to do that. David certainly did. And David knew something about some deliverances. Mighty deliverances. In old times when he went out against the Philistines with just a few, or maybe by himself to do something, or himself going up against Goliath, many of the battles that they faced, David certainly knew what it was like to go out against the enemy, and he certainly knew what it was like to be delivered by the hand of the Lord. Therefore, our foes were not allowed to triumph over us. So David says, "I will extol thee." Highest praises are due for the rest of his life. And it's the same with us, isn't it? Highest praise, to extol, highest praise is due to the Lord for all that He does for us each day, especially what He's done for us in all eternity. Listen, he's not finished with that. I mean, he's finished with eternity, but he's not finished with blessing us each day. We need those deliverances each day. I do. I battle this flesh of mine, don't you? So we need saving every day in the timely realm, understanding and rejoicing in the fact that Jesus has secured our eternal redemption. Verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Ever felt like the Lord's blessed you in that way? We can relate to this. Isn't that the wonderful thing about the Psalms? There's so much practical, so many practical things that we can relate to in the Psalms. And this is very consistent with so many of the Psalms. Crying unto the Lord answering our prayer, the Lord delivering us and restoring joy to our hearts. Oh, we need that throughout so much of our life. All right? Highest praise. Okay, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Many times David would say, thou hast heard me, but here he's saying, thou hast healed me. And for whatever was not as it should have been, the Lord brought the remedy to David. And he can help us today, can't he? He's our help and our guide. Verse 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. You ever felt like you were a goner? You ever felt like all hope was lost? Sometimes life gets that way. Like life from the dead, as when all hope of deliverance is gone, the Lord can restore. Is anything too hard for the Lord? All right. We need to remember that, don't we? Now, I know you know it, but maybe sometimes we don't remind ourselves of it. No doubt David had many occasions when it was beyond his ability to save himself, yet the Lord delivered him again. So follow David, and not Asa, who after great deliverances sought worldly help and not God. Do you remember that? Do you remember Asa? 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Asa was blessed. On one particular occasion, it was a tremendous foe that came against him, and he trusted the Lord, and the Lord delivered. Now, you would think that when someone has been blessed so mightily of the Lord, they would remember that, and they would depend upon that for the rest of their lives. But in 2 Chronicles 2 Chronicles 16, we find that the king of Israel was, I guess you'd say, encroaching. And so Asa went and made a league with the king of Syria to fight against the king of Israel. Now, the Lord rebuked Asa for that. Why, he'd been delivered by the Lord many times. And now he's going to form a league with a Gentile nation for his help. And not only that, I gave verse 12 here. Late in Asa's life, he became sick. And it says he didn't even seek the Lord for his help. That doesn't add up, does it? When the Lord has blessed someone so mightily and so many times, and then for them not even to call upon him in their time of need. Oh, we would never do that, would we? Be careful. Let every man that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We can think too highly of ourselves, can't we? So in this verse, I wanted to make that contrast between David's trust in the Lord and depending upon the Lord and Asa. If you take some time later to go back and read about Asa, we don't want to be like that. We want to be like David and trust. I'm not preaching David tonight, but I am pointing out the good example that he's set for us so that we can follow that and honor the Lord. Verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Don't you love to think about the holiness of God? You know those higher order angels that in Isaiah chapter 6, we said, holy, holy, holy. I think that's about all you can say in trying to describe God. It's to just proclaim his holiness. What a wonderful, glorious God we have. So David says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. You know, God can't be any better than he is. He can't be any more holy. He's perfect. And being perfect, he can't change. Because if he ever changed, he'd cease to be perfect, wouldn't he? And we can rejoice, we can glory in our God. You know, I'd like to be able to be proud of our leaders of our land, but I run to my God. I can be proud of him all day long. I can rejoice in our God. And I appreciate Brother Royce's prayer tonight. We need to be praying for our leaders. The Bible tells us to pray. I know you don't want to. I know. That's tough, isn't it? But we don't pray that God would bless them in their evil. We pray that God would bless them to do what they're supposed to do. But oh, we can glory in our God. And that's what we need to be doing. Stretch our mind, stretch our heart into how good and holy he is. It reminds us of how far short we come. And then it gives us a greater appreciation for his grace. Unmerited favor bestowed upon undeserving individuals. Grace. The more we understand that, the more we appreciate grace. For those who have felt his deliverance for now and who have hope for it in all eternity, sing of it. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to sing about it, do we? Oh, we sang some tonight about heaven. It's good for us. We need that pilgrim perspective. We don't need to be at home in this world. Now, I'm thankful for family and friends and blessings that we have to enjoy here. But this world is not our home. So, we need to be singing about what God's done for us. He is altogether worthy of the praises of his saints. After all, it's only the saints who know his grace and goodness toward us. What praise would God receive from the unregenerate? Any? No, not at all. So it's our job, isn't it? If we've been born of the Spirit of God, I'm not saying we're so good, I'm just simply saying if we've been born of the Spirit of God, if we felt his goodness, if we blessed to know something of him, then it's our job to give him praise and glory. He can't be any more glorious than he is, but he can certainly be more glorious in our mind, can't he? He can be more glorious in our heart. We can have more understanding of his glory. So let's exercise ourselves in giving him praise and glory. So then it's up to us to praise him and give him thanks. At every remembrance of his holiness, praise, adoration, and thanksgiving should ring. All right? I tell you, it'll do you good if you exercised in that. All right, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Aren't you glad God had favor upon us? If he hadn't, there wouldn't be any life. Okay? For whatever space of time may have been involved, it was but a moment when compared with eternity. You know, if we live to be 100, some folks do from time to time, don't they? If we live to be 100, what is that compared to eternity? If we live to be Methuselah's age, remember how many years that was? 969. What is that to eternity? Okay. So, his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Where his favor is, there is life and forgiveness by grace. And that's all you can say. It's by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God that we're here tonight. Now, I'm not saying he made us come. I'm simply saying it's by his grace that we have a desire in our hearts to come. The saints are sanctified by the blood of Jesus for the remission of all of their sins. Now, you know, that's important to emphasize. All. You know, we're timely creatures. We like to think of things in an orderly fashion. This happened, and then that happened, and then that happened. And some people stumble over the idea that Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. But what about all those sins we've committed since then? Or tomorrow, the next day, or the next? Well, when he died for his people, he died for all of their sins. That's why there's folks that struggle with the idea of suicide. And there's a large denomination in the world today that, and not just one, but a lot of people that have the idea that suicide is an unpardonable sin. Well, when Jesus died for our sins, he died for all of our sins. And so, if it's one of his children that have gotten such a mental state that they come to that place, if Jesus died for them, that sin is forgiven. The saints. The word saint, by the way, we are saints, aren't we? You know, I'm not saying we're above sin, but if Jesus died for us, we're redeemed by the blood, we're sanctified, we're his. And the favor we get from the Lord is for Jesus' sake. Saints. The saints are sanctified by the blood of Jesus for the remission of all of their sins. God's favor is theirs for the sake of his Son, whether they live before or after Calvary. Isn't that right? When Jesus died for his people, when the angel said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He had a people before Calvary. He has a people after. And I'm satisfied simply because we're still here that some of his people haven't been born yet. And that blood of Jesus cleansed his people from their sins wherever, whenever they're born. And that forgiveness is eternal. Aren't you glad? If we could mess that up, we would. But Romans chapter 8 concludes, Paul said, "I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." And when he said, "nor any other creature," that's a legal term. It's a catch-all. In case it wasn't addressed by any of those other things, it's included. I know I've shared this with you before, but in nursing homes, sometimes when we're doing a devotional, I've asked the question, can anything separate us from the love of God? And I've had some of those residents, sweet folks, you know, they'd speak up and say, well, you can separate yourself. Well, I didn't take issue. I just went on preaching. But when I've had the opportunity, I like what, I think it was Elder Sonny Pyle that made this point one time, and it stuck with me. Doesn't matter who said it, if it's the truth, does it? But he said, you know, God's the creator, and we're the creature. And the word says, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. That means if we're his creature, we can't do it either. We're secure. That's my go-to verse for eternal security. I'm thankful that the scriptures teach that. And that's not only place it teaches it, but that's an easy one to remember. All right, so he says, for his anger, verse 5, his anger endureth for a moment, but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Whenever a child of God sins, the Spirit convicts him of his wrongdoing. It's not the intellect, is it? The unregenerate doesn't care about his sins. And we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the unregenerate, those without the Spirit of God, they don't care about their sins. It's only when there's the presence of the Holy Spirit that there's conviction over sin. David had experienced that. But upon repentance, we may ask God for mercy. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad there's mercy in the Lord? Not because we deserve it, but for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. And although there's been weeping in those dark hours, when we confess our sins, because of that conviction of His Spirit within us, when we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now that's 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why? Because Jesus already died for those sins. And if we plead the blood of Jesus for our cleansing, then there's forgiveness there. Now, I'm not talking about crocodile tears, am I? I'm talking about sincere conviction and repentance. You know, repentance is not just saying I'm sorry, is it? Repentance is feeling the guilt, confessing, and turning from it and changing. You know, that's a battle that we have with this whole flesh. But repentance is turning from it. It's not just saying we're sorry. You know, it's easy to use that illustration of a traffic ticket. So I'm sorry, officer. Yeah. Most folks are just sorry they got caught. They're not really sorry that they violated the law. All right. And as we feel that forgiveness and cleansing, by the way, that's part of the verse I didn't quote. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. We're talking about our conscience, washing our conscience, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? So, and as we feel that forgiveness and cleansing from the Spirit within us, it gives joy. This verse said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. All right? It's very much like a welcome sunrise after a dark and mournful night. Now, while David would not have fully understood the grace and the forgiveness we have through Jesus Christ, he certainly had the same Spirit working in him, which would convict him when he did wrong. Okay? He understood that God was merciful. And if you don't believe that, just read the Psalm. Keep reading the Psalms. David knew that God was merciful. And how wonderful that is. And the Holy Spirit within him would cause him to rejoice whenever he confessed his sins and found that same forgiveness that we also have today. Aren't you thankful that we can confess our sins and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Joy, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That morning, in the morning when we come to that understanding that he's forgiven us our sins. Verse 6, and in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. The prosperity David received was forgiveness from his guilt and shame and the great joy of being delivered from that. Now that's gain, isn't it? You know, we're not talking about something to add to your bank account here. We're talking about growing. We're talking about receiving something from the Lord. And he had that forgiveness from his guilt and shame and great joy of being delivered from that. There's great profit in that. We grow in confidence when we rejoice in his merciful deliverance. Further, we're encouraged to stand fast in that confidence and feel that we shall never be moved away from our hope and trust in God who delivers so mercifully. Remember those mountaintop experiences we've had when we felt like the Lord's been with us and blessed us and delivered us and we feel like we'll never be moved. That's a good feeling, isn't it? Then there comes a valley a little later on. And we need to remember the mountaintops when we're in the valley to remind us, strengthen us in our confidence that God is with us. Verse 7, Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. What a great witness it is when one praises the Lord and maintains his mountain of confidence in times of question before deliverance comes. You know, there's times when you have questions, isn't there? Not that we question the Lord's faithfulness, not that we question his goodness, not that we question his love for us, but haven't you ever asked the Lord why? Sometimes we do. And in great agony, sometimes folks get mad with God. And that's just a weakness. And all we can do in those times is just remember and try to encourage them that God is faithful, that he will take care of us. But it takes time sometimes, doesn't it? I've seen those like that. There's times when we question. Not that we ever doubt that God's right, but sometimes it takes us a while to get with his program, doesn't it? It's his favor that helps us in those times. You know, our faith is weak. And we waver. God doesn't. He's the same yesterday, today. Has there ever been a day that he wasn't good to you? Now, I'm not saying that you've never had a day when things weren't going your way, so to speak, or, you know, but I've always had air to breathe. The sun comes up every morning. You know, you just start thinking about it, and there's so many things that God has provided for us every day. And if we meet a bump in the road, then so what? Are we better than Jesus? I tell you, when he came to suffer and die for our sins, there were plenty of struggles that he had in his life. But because he loves us, he hung on the cross. You know, I'm sure you've heard the expression, it wasn't the nails that held him there, it was his love. So what if we hit some bumps in the road? This is just time. After time is eternity. And what God has done for us has secured us into all eternity. That favor, it's his favor that helps us in those times. God's mercy upon us and his goodness toward us encourage us in our times of trouble until the day dawns in our understanding. It is indeed a troublesome time when we feel that the Lord hides his face from us. And that is a tough time, isn't it? When we feel like the Lord's hiding his face from us. And there are times when that happens. We're never out of his hand. We're never beyond his mercy. His mercy endures forever. But there's times that he hides his face from us. Maybe we've forgotten to pray. Maybe we've forgotten to confess. Maybe we've forgotten to draw nigh unto the Lord. And so he kind of keeps himself at a distance sometimes, I believe, to get our attention. It's good for us. But in those times, look for those tokens of his mercy and love. You felt like you've had some of those tokens in your life? Just little things that happen to remind you that the Lord's still there. Still on his throne, still providing, still blessing, still knows what we need better than we do. You know, that favor strengthens us. We need to remember it. Verse 8, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. Only the Lord can hear and help us. Just as Peter responded when the Lord asked them, this is in John 6, the latter part of that chapter, the Lord asked them if they also would go away. Remember, there was a time when there were some of Jesus' disciples. We're talking about John chapter 6 now. Some of them said, these are hard sayings, and who can hear them? And many of his disciples turned and walked no more with him. And so Jesus turned to them and said, his apostles, and said, will you also go away? And this is one of the times that Peter got it right, when he answered. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? I didn't put the whole verse in there, just because of space consideration, but Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and art sure that thou art that Christ that should come. They believed he's the Christ. But there were some that said, these are hard sayings. Who can hear them? And they turned and walked no more with him. That encourages me. You know, not something like, I mean, if there are those who heard the perfect preacher, if they turned away from him, I shouldn't be surprised if in my weak way, from time to time, somebody doesn't agree with what I say. Lord, to whom shall we go? Is there anywhere else you can go but to the Lord? No one else. He hears, he knows, he loves us, and he's fully able to do for us what's needed. And I just love those times when I can look back and see that there was something I needed, and the Lord when I was blessed to see that the Lord provided, I was also blessed to look back a little bit and see the Lord had been working on this for a long time. And I didn't even have sense enough to know it. But he was there. And he was working. Verse 9. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pits? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? See, David is facing an enemy now. He's got a problem, and he's praying to God for help. And he's bringing this up before the Lord. Shall the dust praise thee if I go down to the pit, if I die? David begs for mercy on the grounds that he might be able to continue to offer his praises to the Lord. When we die, we'll return to the dust. Isn't that what the Bible says? Here, I've got Genesis 3:19, but you can also go to Ecclesiastes. Okay? Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Didn't God make Adam out of the dust of the earth? Formed man out of the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. When we die, our soul goes back to God, and the body returns to the dust from whence it came. Will that dust praise God? Not until it's raised again. But that's our hope, isn't it? He's going to raise us again. You know, you hear folks so distraught about sometimes when somebody's life is taken in some violent happening and maybe their body's not recovered. Well, it's no problem for the Lord. He made us out of dust the first time. He can do it again. And he will, won't he? So shall the dust praise the Lord? Not until it's raised again. But as David desired, we also should want to live our days in praise to God's truth as much as we can. If David's life was spared, there'd be more glory to God. If he used it properly, now he might have wasted it. You know, it seems like Asa wasted some days in the latter part of his life, didn't he? Have you ever wasted any of the precious time God's given you? If you're honest with yourself, you'd have to say yes. Why do we do that? He's so worthy of it. We ought to be praising him as much as we can. Verse 10, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Lord, be thou my helper. By the way, he, David, would have no grounds for making such a request had he not already been given to praising God regularly. Can you think of anybody in Scripture, other than the Lord himself, can you think of anybody in Scripture that spent more time praising God than we have recorded for David? The sweet psalmist of Israel? Haven't you enjoyed, you know, it's been several years now that we've been going through the Psalms. I hope you've enjoyed. I certainly have. But there are times when we waste some of our time. David perhaps had more experience in praising God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. God had been good to him. David spent a lot of time telling people about it. We would all do well to do the same. Sing of his praises. God had helped him many times, and David had praised him for it. So once again, with great confidence, David is praying for help in his time of need. Haven't we talked about so much? One of the outstanding characteristics of David is his confidence in the Lord. you wish you had that confidence? Now, I believe we do have a lot of confidence in the Lord, but I'm not sure I'd pick up a sling and 5 stones and go out after Goliath. David did. And he fully intended to take Goliath down, trusting in the Lord. And I'm satisfied when David slung that stone, it became a guided missile. But what confidence that young lad had in the Lord. Now, there's a lot of things people put their confidence in that's not worthy of it. But you will never put too much confidence in the Lord. Our problem is the other way, isn't it? We don't put enough. Isn't it a blessing to have that experience with the Lord that we can look back at those times when we called upon Him and He's helped us? That is when we can appreciate what Paul said. This is Romans 5. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Notice that sequence. Tribulation worketh patience. And patience, he doesn't repeat the word, but patience worketh experience. You're experienced in patiently trusting God through the tribulations. Okay? I'm probably going to say this. Let me just go ahead and read here. What I put in his tribulation, David gained experience of God's ability and willingness to deliver him. And that experience gave him hope in God delivering him in the future. Therefore, he was not ashamed to call unto the Lord for mercy and help when his next trouble came. Isn't that the way it is? When we gain experience, there's a lot of things we have to learn by experience. And when you've had some experience trusting God and He's been faithful to you, that gives you hope, doesn't it? You know, Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul talked about there were times that he despaired of life. He thought he was a goner, just like we touched on something with David here. There were times that Paul, you know, when he was in the shipwreck, times he was beaten, left for dead. There were times that Paul even despaired of life. But God was merciful to him, wasn't he? There's a word I'm not getting here. I'm trying to quote it. Let me turn to it and read it right. Second Thessalonians 1. I'm sorry. Is that right? Is it First Thessalonians? No, not First Thessalonians. I'm not seeing what. I'm not seeing it. But anyway, Paul talked about trusting in the living God, trusting in God that doth deliver us, or has delivered us, and who doth deliver us, and who will yet deliver us. Where's that passage? I didn't see it. I thought it was 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. But nevertheless, Paul trusted. When times when he thought he was a goner, God had mercy upon him. And he learned through experience, through those struggles and tribulations, that God has delivered him, He doth deliver, and He will yet deliver us. He had hope that God would be with him. All right. Verse 11. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end. Now you need to pay attention when the scriptures tell us when it uses that type of expression. To the end. In other words, for this purpose. Here's the reason. To the end, that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. The Lord had turned his mourning into dancing, put off his sackcloth, girded him with gladness to the end that my glory. Now there's not much about us that's glorious. But whatever, let me just read it. How sweet it is when prayers are answered, when joy is restored, and when thanks are given to the only one who knows and who's able to supply the need. If anything good is seen in us, that is our glory, may it always result in singing of praises to God and thanksgiving for it all. By the grace of God. And what Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I remembered where that passage is. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Not Thessalonians, 2 Corinthians. Let me grab this real quick. I wanted you to know that it's here. You know, it's good for us to turn to the scriptures and see that it's actually there. That I'm not just giving you my opinion, but it's actually scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's see. Verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. You ever been there? I don't know that I've ever been that far. I've been discouraged. I've been in straits. But I don't know if I've ever despaired of life. But it's good for me to know that someone who has been there can give us this testimony. Pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. In other words, he thought he was going to die. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. I wanted to get that. You can trust in a God that can raise the dead. If some calamity were to happen to us and our life is snuffed out in an instant, our faith is in the blood of Jesus, which cleansed us from our sins. And he rose again and he said, because I live, ye shall live also. And so if we meet our death, if what we sometimes call an untimely death, unexpected happens, whatever, why, we may close our eyes in death, but we'll immediately awake in the presence of the Lord. Our spirit, at least, will be in the presence of the Lord, awaiting the morning of the resurrection, when he'll raise these bodies and fashion them like unto his glorious body, unite that spirit with it and take us home to be with him forever. So if we were to meet our end unexpectedly here, we'd just enter into our eternal abode sooner, wouldn't we? Our troubles would be over. So Paul said that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. He'll either deliver us or he'll raise us from death. That's a win-win, isn't it? Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. I love that passage. That's encouraging to me. Like I said, I've never despaired of death, of life. I had some pains and I thought I was going to die. But, you know, that's just short. But that encourages me to know that if I get there, if I get to that place where I think I'm going to die, Paul's already been there. Matter of fact, Paul was there several times, wasn't he? And he still trusted in the one that can deliver us. And if he has to, even to raise the dead. And Jesus did that. And he's going to do it again, isn't he? That's our hope. All right, so if any good thing seen in us, our glory, may it always result in singing praises to God and thanksgiving for it all. May God help us to sing praises to the Lord for all the goodness that he's given us. Someone have a selection to close with?